Welcome to Old South Church in Boston, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, which means this: no matter who you are or where you're from, around the corner or around the world, you are welcome here. You are welcome, whatever your hue, whatever your body is like, whoever you love, whatever your nationality or political persuasion or religious background, you are welcome. Whatever your doubts or baggage or questions, uncertainties, shortcomings, you are welcome. And welcome to be fully yourself here in the presence of God as we worship together this day. Our worship is enriched by your presence, so please let us know that you're with us by signing the virtual friendship pad. If you leave enough information and your email address, we'll get back to you and help you get connected to this community. At Old South Church, we believe that living our faith is something that doesn't just happen on Sundays. That's why we have so many opportunities for engagement, from our community hour discussions following worship, to small groups and service projects, to our climate crisis task force and getting out the vote through the Creation Justice Voter Pledge. Won't you join us? And now let us turn our attention to the important and sacred work of worship. Let us pray. God of transition and change throughout all history, you have led your people on challenging journeys. You have called your people to discomforting tasks. You have asked your people to look and question. God of transition and change, meet us now through word and song. Challenge us, challenge our thinking, and deepen our understanding, that we may be ready to follow you into the challenges of this time. Amen.
Hi kids, it's Pastor Nancy
and Pastor Sean.
Today's Bible story is about one of the Ten Commandments, the Eighth Commandment: Thou shalt not lie.
Wow, thank goodness I don't ever lie.
Really? Never?
Hardly ever.
Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure?
You can test me if you want.
Well, as a matter of fact, I just happen to have my new invention with me. Meet the lie detective.
The lie detective? How does it work?
Well, it's a little machine I invented. Every time you tell the truth, the green light lights up. If you tell a lie, the red light lights up and the horn buzzes.
Oh.
Let's give it a try. Put the helmet on your head and press the on buttons. Now, think of something and tell us something that's true.
I like ice cream. I like pizza. I like anchovies.
It works! This is cool. I'm thinking about making a whole bunch of them for parents.
So our parents can be tested?
No, so the parents can use them on their kids. Don't you think that's a great idea?
Sure. Well, maybe.
What's the matter? I thought you always told the truth.
I do. Well, mostly.
Mostly? So you're saying it's okay to lie a little? The problem is that little lies sometimes turn into bigger lies to cover up the earlier little lies.
Huh?
Let's say that you forgot to write your sermon, and you tell the church moderator that your dog ate your sermon.
I wish we had a dog.
And what happens when the church moderator asks,
"Oh, you have a dog? We have a dog too. What kind of a dog do you have?"
And you have to lie again. And you say,
"It's a golden retriever."
And then the moderator says,
"You know what? You know what? Let's set up a play date for our dogs. I bet they'd love each other."
And now you have to lie again.
Well, our dog is really shy. Yeah, that's it. She's shy. She doesn't go out much. You've heard of indoor cats? Well, we've got an indoor dog.
You have an indoor dog?
And now you're lying like crazy.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you see how one little lie can turn into a whole bunch more?
I guess.
It's way better not to lie in the first place. Telling the truth is a beautiful thing. That's why it's one of just 10 commandments. You shall not lie. Pastor Sean, what did you learn today?
I learned that God needs us to tell the truth.
Yes, excellent.
And once you start telling lies, they can grow and grow and grow.
Right. The best thing to do is always tell the truth. If you tell the truth, you'll be fine.
Then you won't mind putting the helmet on.
What? Me? Wait a minute. Hold on now.
What's the matter? Are you scared?
No, I'm not scared. Okay. Go ahead. Fire away.
Are you a good singer?
I'm a great singer.
Have you ever fallen asleep in church?
No, I've never fallen asleep.
Are you jealous of my children's sermons?
Of course not. Oh, what's happening here? Oh no, I'm burning. Help, help, help!
Don't worry, I've got this.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Don't lie.
Don't lie.
It's the 8th commandment, and it's important. Will you pray with me? Dear God, help us to be honest, to always tell the truth, and to keep all of your commandments, including the 8th commandment. Don't lie.
Don't lie.
And let the whole church say, Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, starting at the first verse. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. A reading from the Hebrew Scriptures.
Now, I'm going to say something today, but you need to promise you won't overreact. Ready? Here goes. The Bible is full of lies. It's true. There are so many lies in the Bible. Now, to be clear, I don't mean that the Bible is a lie, or that the things written on its pages are untrue, for the Bible is the most important thing in my life. What I mean is that the Bible is littered with stories of God's people caught in a lie. Here's one for starters. You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods. That's the lie that started off the whole story, the lie spoken by the serpent appearing to Adam and Eve. Sarah denied laughing at the news of her pregnancy when in fact she did. Jacob's sons lie to their father when they tell him that their brother Joseph of beautiful coat fame was killed, when really they sold him into slavery. And Peter lies three times, each time denying he knows Jesus. The Bible is full of lies, and it makes sense. For the Bible is the story of the people of God, and God's people are not. We are human, and humans lie. All of us do. We can't help it. Scientists say we humans lie an average of 1 to 2 times a day, and we are lied to 10 to 12 times a day. We start doing it as early as 2 years old, and it is one of the most sophisticated functions of the human brain. We do it for many reasons, and sometimes it has its benefits. Avoiding hard conversations, maintaining relationships, just trying to be nice. Other times, we lie for personal gain, not getting caught, avoiding punishment, making ourselves look good. But what's more, lying, and lying consistently, rewires the brain. The more we lie, the more our brains become desensitized to the fear of getting caught or hurting others, making lying for our own benefit much easier, but also a bit more complicated to discern truth. The more we lie and the more others lie, the harder it is to sort out the truth. And for God's people in the wilderness, the truth was everything. They had no idea where they were going. Their patience was always running thin. The bonds that kept the community together were so new and tender and fragile. So God gives them those 10 words, the 10 commandments, to bind them, to give them order and purpose and belonging. And baked within those 10 words, God commands them to protect the truth. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not lie. It was a law common in all the major cultures of the ancient Near East. You shall not bear false witness. You see, without the benefit of scientific evidence, cameras, DNA, a person's word was everything. By a person's testimony, their word, another was judged. And there were harsh attempts to ensure this system of truth would work. For the punishment for false witness could sometimes be the same punishment to which they had exposed the accused. What's more, false witness, lying, also included denying or hiding the truth. The truth was sacred, and so the stakes were high, not just because it was people's reputations on the line, or even their lives, but the whole community. To lie was to put the entire justice system, the entire society, at risk. For the community of God depended on integrity and truthfulness. To disrupt it with lies would sow distrust between siblings, neighbors, and leaders, and it could crumble the fragile ties that kept them bound. Without truth, and without the trust that everyone was telling the truth, they would be doomed. God's people couldn't afford to lie. But there's another aspect to this commandment, and honestly, it complicates things just a bit. Our speech is sacred, holy. What we say matters because it defines who we are, honest or dishonest, moral or immoral, full of integrity or empty of it. Speech is sacred because it is godlike. It was God who spoke the world into being and gave us the same ability to create with our words. To speak is to create a new reality. What we speak becomes real. And so to falsely speak, to lie, violates creation as God has made it. Because we are naming something other than it is. We distort God's reality. We cheapen speech. And when we do that, we weaken the fragile trust that holds God's creation together. We know the consequences of destroying reality, lying. Our life now is post-truth, half-truths, fake news, alternative facts. We are inundated by highly charged accusations, bold-faced lies, rumors, false speech, old truth, now new lies. We are reaching the point at which we do not know who to trust or who to believe, what is true and what is a lie, and it is breaking the nation. So how do we get out of this quagmire, this web of lies? How do we push back on this invasion of falsehood? It's simple. Tell the truth. It's as simple as that. It's not a high art. It takes no fancy styling, but it does take some courage. Tell the truth. Christians are called, commanded, to tell the truth. We speak truth. We align ourselves with facts and reality, because when we don't, when we don't object or counter, if we don't set the record straight, our silence becomes a lie, and we distort God's creation. We become good company to the lie and the liar. Christians don't sit back when someone tells us racism is over. We tell the truth. Christians don't allow someone to peddle false claims about the coronavirus or how great our system was before the coronavirus. We tell the truth. Christians don't smile politely when someone goes on about how the climate crisis is a hoax or that nothing can be done about it. We tell the truth. When we ground ourselves in truth, we may be ostracized for refusing to go along with the lie and the dishonesty, but we cannot be destroyed. For truth is God's reality, and it will free us. Truth, said Elizabeth Cady Stanton, is the only safe ground to stand upon. Yes, our world is full of lies, but we have been given that godly, sacred gift which cures all lies, the ability to speak truth. So, good Christians, tell the truth. It's a commandment, and our world depends on it. Amen.
As the wind sung through the trees, as the stirring of the breeze, so it is with the Spirit of God. As the heart made strangely warm, as the voice within the storm, so it is with the Spirit.
Will you pray with me?
God of summer and autumn, of blue skies and gray clouds, of changing seasons. God of our living, our enduring, our thriving, and our dying. God, you who are as far from us as the most distant star, and yet as near to each of us as our own breathing. Bend low, we pray, come near, sidle up to us in this hard season, in this season of Western files, of worldwide pandemic, of a divided and hate-filled nation. Sidle up to us, God, in this hard season, in this season of trolling and cancel culture, of protest and unrest, of desperation and exasperation. God of the years, of the centuries, God who has seen the worst of humanity and the best, who has witnessed our catastrophic failures and our shining successes. God, we need you now. We need you to enter the fray, to meddle in human affairs, to exact justice, to render mercy, to rescue the downtrodden, to effect beauty. Because, God, we have messed it up. Because there is so much human suffering, because your planet, your good earth, groans in travail under the crushing weight of our industry and our decadence. Hear, O God, our prayers and our pleas for the migrants and the refugees on the island of Lesbos, for the missing, the dead, the homeless, and the grieving in Oregon, Washington, and California, for the teachers and principals, the professors and presidents, the students and children for whom the ritual of returning to school has become fraught and contested, complicated and dangerous and expensive. Hear, O God, our prayers for small business owners, renters, and tenants, for the unemployed and the underemployed, as whole portions of our economy craters under the crushing weight of this pandemic. Hear, O God, our prayers and our pleas for people of color in this nation and beyond, for black and brown, red and yellow, for all who face discrimination, racism, stereotypes, injustice, which have accumulated through the centuries. Hear, O God, our prayer for the planet's fragile ecosystems, for its awesome biodiversity, for all its inhabitants, the four-legged and two-legged, the crawling, the feathered, the scaled, the hairy and furry, insect, reptilian, amphibian, and mammal. Hear, O God, our prayers for the church, for this body of Christ, called in this hard season, this dangerous season, this hate-filled season, to posit love, to advance equity, to spread mercy, to speak convincingly of grace, to bear witness to your radical good news amidst all the world's bad news. O God, tender and just, breathe your comfort into our souls, whisper your hope into our ears, wrap our violent world in bands of soft prayer. Be a soothing balm to our red, unnerved eyes, which have stared at election polls and virus statistics, but sometimes failed to notice butterflies and children's smiles. Gracious God, we remember before you those who are near and dear to this community of faith. Eric, Barbara, Alice, Peter, David, Ed, and Sonia. We remember Malcolm, who has transitioned from this world to the next, and his grieving daughter, Carol. Grant to each the word he or she most needs to hear, and wrap them all in soft, strong bands of tenderness and comfort. Finally, keep watch, dear God, with those who work or watch or weep this day, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ, give rest to the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, shield the joyous, and all for your love's sake. And in the words that Jesus himself has taught us, let us pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And let the whole church say, Amen.
At each of our worship services at Old South Church in Boston, we take up a collection, an offering. And we do so not primarily because the church needs our gifts to accomplish the ministries in which the church is engaged, although the church does need them. But we are, in fact, invited to give for another reason. Because in our giving, by our giving, we become more human, kinder, more generous and generative. Because Christianity is no spectator sport, God calls us off the bench and onto the field, asking us to put skin in the game. Because giving is good for us, because it is in giving that we ourselves receive. The morning offering will now be given and received.
Our Lord Jesus Christ will bring us through. He always does, and He will again.
He's able.
My God is able.
He's able.
I'm so glad He's able,
Jesus. He's able.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know that He can do it. He said He'd help me through it. He's able.
Oh, yes, He can do it.
Oh, yes, He can do it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, he can.
He can do it.
He can do it.
Oh, yes, he can.
Oh, yes, he can.
He's able.
He's able.
Oh, yes, he is.
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 Let us pray. God of love, we lift our offerings to you with joyful and encouraged hearts. We pray that you will multiply these gifts just like bread and fish to the multitudes, that they will be more than enough to accomplish your will in our congregation, community, and across creation. Amen.
As a reminder, following the postlude, we will continue our praise of God in the form of community. So join us for any of our three community hours today: the Forum, featuring the faith story of Deb Washington; What's the Word, a discussion on today's sermon; or our classic coffee hour, hosted today by our Minister of Music, Mitchell Crawford. Go now in peace, guided by your faith and not by your fear, to speak the truth and give thanks to God each day. And the blessing of God, the Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. And let the church say, Amen.